when you look at Acts chapter 15 and verses 36 through 41, you look at a hardship. It was tough. It's hard when you have a conflict with people that you love. And I have run into this a few times in my life where there's been brothers and sisters I don't agree with. And it's better just to part. Sometimes the best to part. Because you mean the best for one another. You know, you agree to disagree on things and it's time to go your own ways because it's not good to be together. You know, what I'm thankful about with the church here and churches, other churches, that you have that common denominality. You have the people agreeing on doctrine, on the word in their lives. They're seeing the same Lord and Savior. You know, with this wokeness, this ideology that they have today in our government, it's everywhere. It's even gotten into our churches. You know, and this is another form of Marxist, and it's everywhere. But we're still faithful. We're still true. And unless the Lord takes us home first, or that He comes back, that we'll still be faithful to the very end, and that He will always get us where we're going. And each one of us take this one day at a time. And looking at Acts chapter 15, well, as you know, that the first missionary journey had ended. And you had people there who came back, Barnabas and Paul, and they rejoiced. We looked at this last sermon, and what happened was is that you always have the devil. Either you're going to fight him out there in the highways and byways of life, or he'll try to come into the church and harass God's people there. And God allows that to happen for a reason, to strengthen us. Every trial, every tribulation that we have should make us stronger by His grace through faith. And then you had, of course, there's rebuttal there in the church of Jerusalem. They had to deal with these Judaizers. They pretty much, you had Peter's and Barnabas' testimony, you had James' testimony, you also had Peter's testimony. And, you know, that was a time to separate. There was a conflict. And those conflicts are good. When you stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, enough is enough, and I need to say something now. You know, there's times when I've had departed from people I've known because I said, I cannot agree with this, is wrong. And I've had to leave. It's either they leave or I leave. And so we had here the problem with circumcision is, of course, keeping the law, keeping the circumcision, and other add-ons to the work salvation, which our churches today are full of it. And I'm saying that in a very light sense. That has choked a lot of people today from coming to church because they say churches are full of do's and don'ts. And by the grace of God through faith, God gives us the freedom to enjoy His love. And as missionaries, they have an awesome task here before us. Think about Brian and Deb and Gene and others that have come and gone over the years. It is an awesome responsibility to fulfill, a very serious thing that God takes as they've given their lives to the Lord. So you had what went on. Finally, there was a letter written in Acts chapter 15, a letter that would kind of like dovetail, fit in the pieces together, hold them firm, that this letter was stating that this circumcision was wrong. Now, you have to remember, it took about 8 or 9 months for the first missionary journey to happen. And 8 cities, roughly, or 8, and there was many provinces that were reached with the gospel. And you had one man who decided to leave once they had reached one shore there. And that was found in Pamphylia. And that was John Mark. John Mark decided, well, he had enough, he had a reason to go. And this is the crux of the story here, the true story, the good news of Jesus Christ, that sometimes, as Christians, we've had enough. And for some reason, I'm not going to judge John Mark here, because he was forgiven and he was used by God mightily, that he had to leave and go back to Jerusalem. And that upset Paul very much. You didn't hear much about Barnabas' feelings about it. Remember, Barnabas' sister Mary was actually, put it to you this way, Mary's son was John Mark, the nephew. And so wrap yourself around that one there when it comes to family, right? There was love that Barnabas had for his nephew. And, you know, today we put family first sometimes. Jesus says, you know, you need to put me first. And remember that when Paul had his argument with Barnabas, it was not taken well. It was rather heated, it was divisive, and it was best that they did part. Sometimes it's better to leave during a conflict like that. So, but God works everything out, as you'll learn here in this story, here in these few verses. So when people leave us over a reason, they have another place to go, then we have to wish them, as long as they are in the Lord, Godspeed. And I'm not talking about the unsaved and people, you don't wish them Godspeed, you pray for them. But you want the best for them. And so with the letter that was written, it was taken out and by Silas and Judas. And they were prophets and they went out and they gave this letter, these letters out, which was very important. It was the word of God. It's these epistles that were sent out. And so because it's very important, we need to check our lives today about conflicts within ourselves. We may have conflicts outside ourselves, but there's a war, there's a conflict going on inside. It's called between the flesh and ourselves. It's a battle that goes on. It's like trench warfare, like it says in Galatians, between the flesh and the spirit in Galatians 5. That the conflict is entrenched between. We have a battle every day that we fight. But we need to let the Spirit control, give us the peace that we need, because the flesh is no good. It never has been. It's weak, but the Spirit is willing. So the separation here with Paul and Barnabas, actually, we see that Silas and Judas, they came back, and there was a good report, and there was rejoicing. Verse 35 in chapter 14. Excuse me, 15, verse 35, and Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of God with many others. So there was a time that, you know, in the church of Jerusalem where things were progressing. The enemy had departed for the most part. The Judaizers had departed. And most expositors believe at this time Galatians was written, and to deal with the churches in Galatia over this issue of heresy that crept in. Because remember, Satan always works a little bit at a time, a little bit, until he's got you, you know. And you don't give him that little bit, you fight back and say, this is not of the Lord, this is not of God. Always go to the Word. If you stumble and fall, plead the blood of Christ. Pick us back up again. No matter how many times we do it. But Paul and Barnabas, they were there exhorting the church, doing the work of the ministry. Then it was time to get ready for the second missionary journey. We see here that there has to be a calling and there has to be an agreement within the church. And that's very important for anybody to lead, to go into, you know, we have seasoned missionaries here. We have others that have been in the mission service. And there was a, you know, like at my home church, we used to have an ordination, a type of get together. And, you know, when people are sent off, you know, God has a blessing for them. And God's going to be there with them. And they were going to be sent. Verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. That was a very good idea. You know, we all like to be able to go out and just lead the world for Christ. And yet we have good hearts here today. We have people that are really, their hearts are in it, not behind it. And regardless of what happens, oh, I think that was a bird that hit the building. I don't know. Sometimes you get weird things like that happen. But you have good hearts here. You have people who have a mission-like spirit. That's what keeps the church alive. And over the years, doesn't matter how big the church is or how small it is, don't be discouraged. Remember, if your heart's in it and you're doing the best you can, God is going to bless. And sometimes it takes time. Being in the mission field too, it takes time. So word was sent back that, hey, these churches are doing well that were planted by Paul and Barnabas. And remember, John Mark, don't forget about him. He had business to take care of. And guess what? His heart was in the right place too. He was more like the comeback kid. And so just as a reminder here, verse 37, it's interesting. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. It's interesting because he was determined to do it. We have somebody who's left the ministry, who has basically quit for a reason. It could have been a physical reason. No one knows why. The expositors, they'll tell you in multi books I've read about this that it could be for any reason. Nobody really knows. Okay, for all I know, he could have had a health problem, but he left. And so that happens with missionaries all the time. Sometimes they have to go home early because God's called them home early. And there's a reason why. But he loves us. He'll explain it to us. But later on, what I love about this is that later on, God used John Mark in a wonderful way. Mark was the author of the Gospel of Mark. Peter called him my son in 1 Peter 5:13. 1 Peter 5:13. See that Peter, one of the spokesmen of the apostles, you know, the one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the Lord forgave him and said to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. In other words, if you really love me, continue to feed my sheep and continue to love them as I would love them. And it says here in verse 13 in 1 Peter 5 says, the church that is in Babylon elected together with you salute you. And so doth Marcus, my son. That's another name for Mark. You know, now what an honor it is to be called by one of the apostles. You're my son in the faith. Like Paul said to Timothy, you're the son of my faith. And today we have sons in the faith here sitting because of our pastors and people we've known over the years have been such a big blessing to us. You know, we set the example, we follow our children. We pray to God that they would, we would set the example that they may follow. And so there was a conflict, but it was forgiven. Paul was seeing that this, John Mark was useful in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. Excuse me. Well, we're supposed to do that. I got the wrong verse. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So eventually even Paul forgave John Mark. And, you know, we should be forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. And so we need to remember that God can still use us, even though there's been times today or maybe in the past we should have, could have, would have, you know, but we didn't. And God's forgiven us, but doesn't give us an excuse not to do it. And so we see here, and Barnabas determined, verse 37, Acts 15, determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And but Paul in verse 38 says, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to his work. And so it's interesting that, you know, Paul was adamant about this. He says, I don't want anything to do with John Mark. Why? Because it is a personal reason. Sometimes it's better to part with this and to move on. And so, taken with that, says here, and in verse 39, and contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another, so that Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Now, some people say, well, this is Barnabas's hometown in Cyprus, and that's why he went there, and you don't really hear a mention about Barnabas or Mark for a while. Yet, God can still make a bad situation for good. Others saying, you know, well, Mark should have listened to the Apostle Paul. Barnabas should have listened to the Apostle Paul because of being in authority that Paul had. But God can still heal and work things out. What I'm saying here this morning, too, is that we might have conflicts with relationships at home, loved ones. But God can still work those out, too. And he's a God of healing and love, and he's a God of patience. And why I'm saying that is because it takes time, patience with people that we love, that we have conflicts with. And here or overseas, wherever we're at, we can still have time to heal. And so, Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. He departed being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. So, you had one group going one way, another group going the other way. It's interesting because Paul chose Silas because he was also Jewish. He was a Roman citizen. He was a prophet. In other words, he proclaimed God's word. And I like to, you know, when you have asunder like that, it kind of, God's word says that all things work together for good for those that loved him, who are called according to his purpose. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, he says, and again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as in touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is done in heaven. And so on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. It's better off to go out in twos anyway, you know, when you're dealing with different areas of your life, when you're ministering or when you're going out sharing the word of God. The devil thought that he could at this time cause issues and splits and hurts, but it backfired on him. Instead of just having one group go out, there were two groups that went out. So there was a double blessing. Remember, trials and tribulations are to make us strong, and God has ways of making things branch off and to grow in his grace and knowledge. Verse 41, and they went through Syria and Cilicia. And then, by the way, that's Paul's, in that area, Tarsus is Paul's hometown. So God blessed that too. He went back to his hometown. Some of us here are called to go back to their own home, to their loved ones, because God has a special blessing for them. And it says here, confirming the churches. What a blessing that is, because wherever you are in a church or in the mission field, God always has a ministry for you to do. Doesn't matter where we come from. There is a ministry for us to do, and God has called us. A very special one, because He does. And so, what can we learn about all this through conflicts? Of course, there's an outline in the bulletin, but I'm not really going by an outline today. I'm going by what's on my heart. But there are some areas here, some observations to consider. Number one, to uphold the weak, to be patient with all. We see that when there's conflicts arising here, Bartimaeus was inclined to give people a second chance. Sometimes we have to do that. You remember in the church in Philippi, where there was two people with Eutychus and Syncre, it says, I beseech you two that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And yet it was better at that time for them to reconcile, Paul was saying, get things right. But yet, when people can't and people sin, then we need to be like Barnabas and give them a second chance. So forgiveness has no bounds. It's everywhere. It should be in our lives. Number two, the Lord works comes first. A falling out with brethren is no reason to stop serving the Lord. You know, met people that have hurt me, people who have tempted me, people who have tested me. You all know that in your lives. That we have to continue with the Lord's work. You know, we are the comeback kids in this church. We come back. We bounce back. You know, the old saying goes, white kids can't jump, right? Remember the expression there in basketball? We used to kid around about that, you know. But God gives us those sneakers, those shoes that we have that we can bounce back. We can get that ball and we can make a slam dunk if we want to. In our old age, even too, spiritually. We can do it. We have the power. We just have to use it. Number three, never give up trying. Never give up trying. I look at every one of you today and my heart is blessed because you keep on trying. There's no putting you down. The tire might have gone flat, you know, the engine might have sputtered and clunked along, but you keep going. You get out there and like, wait a minute, I'm going to change that tire. I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to get that engine fixed, and I'm going to keep on going for the Lord. Making a mistake about never giving up is no reason to give up trying again to serve the Lord. Again, making a mistake is no reason to give up trying again to serve the Lord. And let's just remember, the Lord never gave up. Now, as I look at it, the Lord never gave up on us. You know, why should we give up on Him? Because of what we're saying to the Lord, if we just give up and stop what we're doing in our tracks, we're telling the Lord, you can't do it. He can do it. So John Mark, he never gave up. He went on. He was blessed to the Lord. And I'm sure he had a lot of people praying for him. And there are people here today who have every reason to give up. You know, think about it. With all that you've been through. But you know what? You don't. Because your faith keeps you going. It makes you change that tire. Makes you fix that engine. Hey, keep going, because the love of Christ compels us to keep going on. And then fourthly, not holding a grudge. And that's in one of Satan's toolboxes that he likes to use, is the grudge. Oh, I didn't like it. It hurt me. I didn't get it my way. You know, well, it's wrong to try to do it on our own way because it's going to fail anyway. But give credit where credit is due. Praise those who turn themselves around. People will disappoint us all the time. I've used this illustration so many times in the past. Don't ever put people on a pedestal. Don't ever do that because they will fail you. They'll disappoint you. They will let you down. Put Jesus there. Jesus never fails, you know. And so we need to go ahead and give credit where credit is due. Praise those who turn themselves around. And so there's a lot of people today that need to be encouraged. A lot of people today are down in the dumps because they look on the news. They look at what's happening around the world. But we need to encourage ourselves. So encourage one another today in God's house. We need to do that. And then last but not least, the end should be better than the beginning. Look at what happened here. You had two missionary groups going out. It could have been a disaster, but God turned it around for good. You know, I've met people here today that have really encouraged me because you keep going on. You're an encouragement. You know, you rub me the right way. You ever heard the expression, you rub me the wrong way? Well, you know, that person's kind of rough, you know. No, it's been just the opposite. This world wants to rub you the wrong way. That's why I try not to listen to the news. Try to read the right kinds of things. Get around people. Try to help them. Try to encourage people. Have a smile on my face. And love them so much that, you know what? They can't stop thinking about how you all here love people. And, you know, I had somebody came up to me not long ago who banged on my door, was upset at me because where I was parked in my parking lot. And a month later, I went over to where his truck was, and he knows who I am. And I think he's not angry at me. I think he's angry at the gospel. Get people who don't want God to become very angry, and they look for all kinds of reasons to become angry. He rolled down his window. He goes, "What?" I said, "You know, I'm just letting you know I've been praying for you. And, you know, a guy has a bad leg, and I've been praying for you." And he looked totally surprised. He thought that, you know, I was going to get mad at him, you know, get back at him. That's what the world wants, to be a grudge holder, somebody who does that. But, you know, it all worked out. And now, you know, we smile and we have normal conversations. But, of course, I watch him. Because you know, he's got a temper on him. But you know what? God loves him. I got to show God's love. It takes more of a man or a woman today to stand up to that kind of thing and love people instead of just to fight back, you know, in the flesh. So when conflicts happen, you see, last but not least, the end is better than the beginning. Success is measured by how we finish and not how we start, you know. We have a journey in this life, and no one ever told it was going to be easy, even before we got saved. You know, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It was written by the wisest man that ever lived. But he got himself in trouble, Solomon, because he went into the world, into the flesh, and he did things he wasn't supposed to, trusted in great armies and money and women, too. Nothing against women here. But, you know, he married so many women, and God says, you weren't supposed to do that. Because he was trying to make alliances with the kings of and different countries. It's, you know, it's all about power and control and things like that. But Solomon had also written Ecclesiastes, and I like reading Proverbs because it helps me. Ecclesiastes has a lot of wisdom in it, too. Treat yourself to some time with the Lord. Be blessed this week. Read Ecclesiastes. You'll learn a lot. But I like this one section in here, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Like with John Mark and his story. It only got better. So when things slow down in life and come to a stop and you feel like you're going backwards, God will push you on through his grace. And you'll get through all those issues. And before you know it, if you look behind, you'll see God took care of everything. Oh, yes, there'll be problems, there'll be issues, but he brought you all the way. And here you are today. And you'll look back at this months from now, years from now, and say, yep, I got through this all the way. So better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. In other words, it's better to be patient and going through life than it is to trust yourself, be puffed up. As they say, with puffed up people, you just take a pin and pop them and they just goes down. But patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit that we have. And patience is allowing God to do what he's going to do in our lives. So success is measured by how we finish, not how we start. And in John Mark's time, it all worked out. And in our time, it will all work out. I like what it says in Galatians 6:9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in season we shall reap, if we faint not." And so God has us for us a lot to sow and to reap into other people's lives and our family and our loved ones. And we're going to see God reaping. God has people going overseas in the mission field, people leaving here in one part of Wisconsin going to another. God has a mission. God has a mission here for each one of us today at work or family with people that we love. We have a mission. And each one of us has been called to. And I like what it says in Job 17:9. It says, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands, he shall be stronger and up stronger." In other words, God will hold us up. And if we're clean, like my pastor told me years ago, he says, you know what? If you're clean, God can use you. If you're not clean, God cannot use you. And as we're clean through the blood of Christ, through the forgiveness of our sins, as we grow, listen to me now. No matter what conflicts come into life, because they come in all different shapes and trials and tribulations and all, that it should make us stronger and stronger. And keeping ourselves clean through the blood of Christ. We are justified. It's like we looked at Sunday school. Our justification is like, though we've never even sinned, that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins, who has died for us. And, you know, some of us might be going through conflicts right now within ourselves. We have to ask, Lord, I need to get this under the Spirit, under the blood, and work things out.